Are you still getting ghosted? Maybe they're walking right past you as if they don't see you. Or perhaps, my personal favorite, they've come up with every excuse as to why you guys can't be together even though you practically are. Well, see, what had happened on season one was we thought we had done all the work, but perhaps there's a little bit more left to do. So here I am back for season two, your host, Justin Rain, ready to help you finesse through the stress in the land of fuckboys. So prepare to laugh, cry, possibly be triggered, but most importantly, I promise, this season we're going to heal as we begin to address our fuckboy problem.
Don't wanna be a player.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
I mean, a punisher, still got what you're looking for.
Don't wanna for be, thugs, don't wanna for be my thugs.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
Don't you know, big
on this episode of Fuckboy Problems, titled Mr. Up and Down, I chat with educator and fellow podcaster PJ Ryan, and we talk about passion versus aggression, processing our traumas, and good reasons to ghost someone. Are there even any? Well, PJ has a few reasons why. But first, here's Fuckboys in the News.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is the news.
Good evening. This is the news.
Good evening. This is the news.
Campaign between James and Phoebe really heating up now. Things.
Fucking library.
This is the fucking news.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No.
This is the fucking news.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Fuckboys in the News, the portion of the show where if you're fucking up and you have no excuse for your actions, know that I, am going to call you out on them. Yes, that's right. First up on the list, we have the guy we have been talking about all week on the interwebs, Mr. Derek Jackson. If you have been living under a rock, I don't know how you missed this story, but I'll give you a little bit of backstory. Derek Jackson, he's known for being the driver's side motivational speaker. Yes, he does all his videos in the driver's seat of his car. There's definitely a brand for that and an audience. And his whole thing was, you know, black men don't cheat. Well, in recent news, Derek and all his hoes finally came out to play, or came out to finally tell the truth. I don't know which one happened first, but the fuck boy, he's been fucking around and he has no excuse. I mean, detailed accounts. Hoes giving descriptions of the home, the layout. She said your backsplash looked like this. But nevertheless, the part that really turns into some fuckboy type shit is actually what happens when it all comes out. Instead of taking accountability or even just, you know, allowing the gossip to be what it is and move on, Derek decided to hop on his ego, make his wife an accomplice, which was probably one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen. She went on there and basically the short and sweet of it is he's saying he's done things he's not proud of. Those things occurred during a separation in their marriage, supposedly, or during a very rocky time. It happened quite some time ago, and they've worked through it, and now they're in a really healthy place. Well, if you know what Derek looks like, and I'm not bringing looks into anything, but I do believe that stress, depression, all those things do affect a person, and you'll see in a second what I'm saying. Derek is a fitness professional. Body, yes. Face, I guess. Attitude, zero in my book. But his wife, if you look at her physical demeanor during the video, when you look it up, she clearly seems uncomfortable. Also, usually people in fitness, and not all the time, they usually like encourage and want to be with another person who is healthy. I probably believe that his wife is a healthy person, but usually when people deal with stress and things like that, they gain weight. We've been in quarantine, all those types of things. And she just in her appearance, she showed up in a bonnet. Like, she just did not seem like she cared about how she looked, because probably all the other shit going on in her life right now is way too much. And the part that really goes into even worse fuckboy territory is, so one, you've made your wife come here and basically take accountability, or like apologize for you instead of you apologizing and taking accountability. Really, you needed her to say the words that you couldn't say. And you came up there sitting on your pedestal like, nah, I'm good. I ain't do no wrong. Defend me, bitch. Because I'm a good nigga. Right now. This dude decides to get all amped up and he's frustrated because we all called him out on his BS. We all called him out on his truth. We We called him out for having his wife defend his stuff when you've got girl somebody you just ate her ass 2 weeks ago. But you claimed it happened so long ago. He decides to go and make a reply video to his own video. I don't get it. This man made a reply video to his own video and then proceeded to repeat and regurgitate all the negative things and the feedback that people have been sharing with him online about how they feel about his actions and the deception of his character, and decided to do it all in third person as if he isn't him. Talk about a motherfucking ego. You need to go sit down. You ain't gonna come back from this one. Talking about when trust is built, I know it's so hard to be regained. Talk about that with your wife, motherfucker. Don't worry about your trust with your audience, nigga. It's done. It's a wrap. Next case. We have Mr. Stir Fry himself, Quavo, Mr. Single. Now, if you, like I said once more, I don't know. I don't know how y'all missed this one, because this was some top tier beast mode type shit. I wish I would have thought of it myself back in my heyday. Quavo got dumped on the internet last week, y'all. And basically, the short and sweet of it is, sweetie, she know you been cheating. She let it ride. She let you buy her, you know, a nice car, some properties, you know, drop enough to buy, you know, a nice property, she said, you know, all at once, you know, and she forgave you, but you did not learn your lesson. So she went onto the internet to just say, hey, I am single now. I am removing myself from this relationship. It no longer serves me. It is damaging to my mental health. It also is forcing me to perpetuate a relationship and perpetuate things that are not actually what they are, and falsehoods about who I am and who this person is and what this relationship is about. And it no longer is that. And I'm done with it. Felt like a really great way to do it. She didn't really diss him too much. All she did was just say, you know, you can't be with someone when the intimacy is given to others. And that's fair, like, you know, like, to a certain extent, like, you cannot feel the same closeness, in my opinion, or the closeness that maybe she desires or I personally desire, if you feel like the intimacy is being spread. Just like, okay, you got 8 slices of a pizza. If you giving out 7, that means you only got 1 left for me. I might want half the pizza. I'm a big bitch. I might want more than 1 slice. You don't even have enough to offer because you've given out slices to all your other hoes. That's an issue for me. That's why I just tell motherfuckers I can't share. I'm not that girl. Can't do it. Sorry. But following that, Quavo decided to say in a tweet that responded, "You're not the woman I thought you were." You're right. She's better than who you thought she was. And better for it, because she has integrity, self-respect, and decided to choose herself, like we talked about last week with KP, even when it hurts. And remember, feelings aren't facts. Next case. Last on the list, we have David Dobrik. If you don't know who David Dobrik is, Google him and his vlog squad. He's a very popular, like, pranker or TikToker or whatever. He blew up in, like, 2015, starting doing these kind of, like, prank videos. You know, like, break up with your girlfriend. Oh, you caught your girlfriend cheating. And he would get, like, a whole crew and, like, do crazy stuff. Well, recent allegations about sexual harassment and an unhealthy and toxic workplace came out recently against David. This is really fucked up in a lot of different ways. On one side, there are allegations of rape with text messages, photos, evidence, geolocation, tying these bitches to the spot at the time of the thing. They have rape kits. It's a whole situation. Basically, one of his vlog squad members have been accused of raping a girl or multiple women that were in attendance at a video shoot that they recently had. That's strike one. Strike two, he had a former employee, former teammate on the vlog squad who was a little person who talks about how upon being brought onto the team, basically all the skits, all the work, all the projects they would do, a large majority of them were done at this person's expense and making fun of their disability. Strike two. Three, another team member on Dobrik's team actually was doing a skit, was told he was going to be kissing another woman, and then Dobrik, behind his back, has a man kiss him without his consent. Take all that in. All right. Then, okay, I don't know why these dudes and people and celebrities, period, don't do apology videos if you're not ready to apologize, Sharon Osbourne. If you don't think you did nothing wrong, if you think your white ass did everything right, and everybody's just out here to cancel you because you're so innocent, you didn't do anything to hurt anybody, snap out of it. No, you did, and you should be held accountable. I'm sorry. Dude, the apology was just terrible. So then he had to go apologize for the apology video and say that, yeah, he wasn't ready yet to apologize. He wasn't in the right place. You think, and you're not in the right place 3 days later. Like, you're canceled. You lost all your endorsements. You're scrambling, you know? You're trying to do what you can, Shane Dawson. Hopefully you save money like his ass did. I don't know what to tell you, boo-boo. But it's a wrap. That's enough of my rants. You know, me being pissed off about fuckboys and their bullshit. PJ Ryan, he's so fucking funny, and he's an amazing co-host, amazing podcaster. You guys are gonna love the conversation. Here's Mr. Up and Down.
I don't know what to do, but to keep part two of my confessions.
Hey everybody, I am so excited to have the boy from Brooklyn on the show, PJ Ryan. He is an award-winning producer, podcast, content creator, HIV, AIDS, and mental health advocate. He is an amazing person. I'm so excited to have him on the show today.
Hey.
You like that. I hyped you up.
I know. You know what it is sometimes? Honestly, it's like, we have to learn how to give ourselves our roses we have to learn how to accept our roses when they're given, even if that's how you want to be introduced or how you are known as. Every single time I still hear it, sometimes it's just like, yeah, wow, okay.
No, you did that. You do all that.
Okay, hello? as well as an educator as well. So yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
An educator as well. For today's episode, it's called Mr. Up and Down. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. We're still figuring it out. So, PJ, you're the fuckboy today.
I am.
We have had some fuckboys this season. Folks just coming on this season. Like, you know, did nobody do me wrong? I'm out here hurting people.
Well, that's good.
I'm out here choosing violence.
You know, no, I'm not choosing violence by any means. You know, I mean, but I think it's good that we start owning up our shit. Because if we don't own it up to it, how can you expect either yourself to grow, somebody to be attracted to your growth, or, you know, it's just, how do you expect to actually be an actual legitimate human being until you learn your fucked up ways and actually working on them?
No, I 1000% agree. That's why the podcast got started. Literally, I was a fuckboy with lots of problems. I had fuckboy problems. I needed to solve them. Here we are, providing solutions.
You know, come on, solutions.
One episode at a time. We try to finesse through the stress.
Okay. Look, finesse it and fix it. Let's go. Let's get it together.
Yes, fix it, Jesus. So tell us, okay, place us in the scene like it's Golden Girls. It was Sicily, 1942. Tell us where you were when you met this person, when you decided to be a fuckboy in a special occasion.
Dang, he's just gonna already say it. Okay, well, yes, so
this man debated for 10 long hours. Harlem Nights. Let me just, I'm gonna keep this in the edit too. Whoever you are, Harlem Nights, know that you have value. You
please
are
know that
appreciated,
you have value.
And this man learned his lesson, okay? Because he thought long and hard. He wanted your name to have some value.
Yes, okay? I actually did. This is not just some random, right?
He pondered.
I pondered because it's important, right? How about this, right? So this was actually the first time I actually ever done anything like this before, which is the crazy part. I was on the 3 train and I was heading uptown and someone was standing by the door and we caught eyes. And I've always said that I want to meet the person I'm going to be with, like in a public setting. I don't want to meet them online. I've done that, been there, done that, wrote the book about it because I've been doing it all my life. So I know the ins and outs of it, right? So I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I want to meet, like, why, I think sometimes, why can't we as gay men, like,
meet organically,
like you do and see in those rom-coms, right? And if I'm not mistaken, he was supposed to get off early. No, I was supposed to get off later and he got off and I got off with him. And we just, if I'm telling that portion correctly, I might be a little not really sure about that. After that, you know, we started talking.
No, Harlem Night. You're not skating by. I'm not skating by. What did you say? We need to hear the game.
I don't. So, okay, so I really don't have game. I don't have game. My game is authentic. So it's just like, you know.
Just pulled up on him like, we've been looking and you've been lurking and I want to lick it.
You know, I've never had a problem walking up to somebody and saying, I think you're cute. I think you're handsome, whether or not I know that you're gay or not. Because I think it's just all done in respect and how you actually come on, approach people. Come look, on. I mean, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's what, like, I've never been, like, disrespected, even though I've done it to so-called straight men. So-called, okay. I don't really remember how it actually really initially happened. We exchanged numbers, and then we actually spoke because I had somewhere to go.
I still got to get to where I got to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, I waited for the next train, I believe. I believe I waited for the next train and went my way.
Seven minutes. That's plenty of time to get the information you need to get, okay?
Okay, you know, and so I'll say this. We went out on a date. He was really nice. We actually had fun. We went walking by Alvin Ailey. We got pizza. Well, it wasn't even pizza. Actually, we went and got some. No. See, you see how much of a fuckboy I've been in my life? I'm trying to mix them up. They're all blending together.
Come on now. This is what we're not going to do.
I'm just fucking around.
To say, don't be playing with these people like this.
No, I'm not just playing around. No.
Remember because this way too vividly.
I actually do it because I've been single now for, I'll be honest, I've been single now for 9 years. I've only been on 3 legitimate dates in 9 years. Right. So this is one I can, you know, really recall. Right. And somebody I was like really interested in. So Harlem Night, we had a great time. We went to get some brunch at this cute little spot. And there were certain things that I like, you know, certain little red flags. I was like, OK, I'm not your property. But when people show themselves as being like, I guess, slightly jealous ahead of time, you know, like. Oh, yeah, you're not going.
You gotta pick and choose those battles because
yeah, like oh, who? Yeah.
So you can just seem crazy. You just seem crazy.
You know,
you don't have no reason to be worried about what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Know my middle name, and guess what? You know. Joke's on you. I don't have one, nigga. Hi.
So Harlem Night. Go to brunch. We.
He's acting a little possessive or jealous.
No, you know, little possessive jokes. We actually ended up point where we walked all the way down where Trevor Noah shoots for The Daily Show. There's a little park over there. And we sat and we just really like talked. And, you know, I think this was still all in one time. It was a beautiful moment. Like, I've been longing to be in a relationship. I know I've always had a tendency to rush into them. So I kind of wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing that. But I liked the way this was feeling and it was feeling natural. And we stayed out there pretty much until maybe about like 1 o'clock in the morning by the water.
So y'all went from brunch all the way to one.
This was almost a 24 hour date and it was actually really nice. And I'll say that this person does some things in the entertainment and I was embarrassing him in the street, letting people know, giving him props for what he's done as far as people he's worked with. And it was, you know, just a fun, beautiful moment. Fast forward a little bit. And Mr. Up and Down is a person that some days I want to be around you. Some days I don't. Some days I'll pick up the phone. Some days I won't.
Wait, why?
Why did that rhyme? Come on now. During that time, again, that was like me trying to regain and reclaim my power to an extent. Okay. I had just, in 2012, I had left a relationship for 8 years. We were together for 6, it lingered for another 2. And I was celibate for the first 2 years. Then I was out there in those streets. And then I started dating, which was the few people I dated in between. And Harlem Night, but each time I was still like not ready to commit to a, so to speak, but I knew I wanted to. But I liked I've never really understood or felt like great being alone during that time. But then I started loving what it meant to be alone. So it'd be those moments where it's like, go away, you know, I'll talk to you when I talk to you, you know, and then when I talk to you, I want you to be available when I want you to be, but
you're an emotional
type. I know. Because I got let have it in the middle of 14th Street. And I was just like, go ahead, just let me have it in the middle of everybody. Because I ghosted him.
So you guys had this amazing first date.
We had an amazing first date. We went on several dates.
How long before you start fucking up? or were you triggered into
roughly around? I was triggered into fucking up. I'll admit that I was triggered into because of the possessiveness.
So that kept pushing me like a way you could never fully.
Yeah, because I was walking in that direction, but it was just I've been in the situation where someone used to pick up my phone and would go through my phone, and I've never cheated on you nor given you a reason to. So I don't, it was a lot of reminding. It just kept bringing back those moments, those memories in my mind.
I guess I'll say all that to say, like, were you really over your ex? That's probably a better way to ask it. Were you really completely over your ex by the time?
It had nothing to do with a previous relationship. I left my ex. So that, but yeah, the ex hasn't, or the trauma from that lingered a little bit. I'll say that.
I guess I can say on the other side, the latter of that can be also, I know for a fact, after like getting out of a really bad relationship, or, you know, after putting years in it, my New York relationship that I was in, like, my attitude was definitely like, okay, like, I don't want anybody like this. Like, you become hyper aware of, you know, what you've done wrong, what your faults are. And you also, if you healed the right way.
And right,
I
right.
I had become hyper aware of what my faults were first. And where I needed to do work. And then also I was growing to become more aware of what I did not want the next time.
Correct. Okay. I follow that.
I won't say there were his faults. I'll just say there were things that I discovered, like, okay, like, I don't want this from a partner. Right. I need this in a relationship, or I'm compromising here, and I'm making a compromise that's against myself or not, now, see, for my betterment.
See, on top of that, so also the idea of how we perceive things, right? So my perception is only based on my experience. So whether or not that there were comments that were made that came off one way, I may have just taken it that way because of my past experience. And that person may not have meant it in that way because they were trying to be humorous, you know, or, you know, and I, you know, so it's a give and take. But I don't. So that's the thing. So I expect people to do as I do, right? But you can't, because everybody's not you. So there are certain things that just aren't, that's not funny. So I wouldn't make jokes about certain things like that, right? But I wouldn't, he was actually a really great guy. I would never, you know, say anything like that to him, to Harlem Knight at all. There were even times where I let's say I was stranded and I couldn't get back to Brooklyn, and I would, you know, stay over at his house, and we didn't even we never even had sex. So I genuinely liked this person.
So because why fuck it up?
There were different layers to it, because I number one wasn't ready to disclose my HIV status to him at that time.
You have to do it on your own time.
Yeah, and it normally is. For some reason, it really frightened me, because I liked him a lot. Normally, it'd be like the first thing I would say, like, you know. And now, especially now, since I'm publicly open with it, it's public knowledge. But during that time, I really wasn't still in that mood yet. But then at the same time, the other part was just leave me. I still am holding on to this little bit of freedom.
You have always come up to me like, not to be tied down.
I don't like to be tied down. Like, you have the rope. I like to actually, let's tie each other down. Like, I like that kind of thing. And it
that,
was just,
you need that equality. You need that duality on both sides at all times.
Yeah. And he was a beautiful person. And there were moments where he would call me, and I just honestly, and I kind of do that now, but I do that now more so in a, my phone's in my room and I'm in the other room or kind of situation. Before I would just avoid, because I was trying to avoid having these conversations. I don't know how it's going to go conversations, because at that time, which, you know, this person, he is negative and still is from whatever I know, but I didn't really think that it was going to be a great turnout. Like, I thought he was just not going to want to date me because of that.
Did you decide that for him?
I decided that
for him. Or did he already give you an indication?
No, I clearly put my foot in my mouth for that.
I guess now in 2021, you could be like, oh yeah, well, like, I felt this way about myself and I need to unpack that negative feeling and that stigma.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as like living with HIV?
Mm-hmm. I just always wonder, why you would decide his answer before without giving any indication. Although I'm sure like maybe past experiences might have like informed that reaction.
Yes and no, because part of me also still had to remember that I honestly at that time was not ready for a relationship. So I kind of was like using that also as an excuse, because I can actually talk about my HIV status. I've always could when it comes to like people I fuck with. But if I'm actually going to have sex with you in any way, whether it's, you know, top, bottom, verse, or whatever have you, that conversation is going to be had the first thing that we have. So I was also like holding out on like wanting to have the conversation. So I was also holding out on sex, and they wanted sex. And at that time I just stopped being celibate. So it's just like, just because I stopped being celibate doesn't mean that the first thing I want to do is have sex, you know? I oftentimes he would text me and I would see his messages. I just wouldn't respond until I was ready to open up, and like until I was up, because during those times I was down.
How much does mental health play a factor in that?
This is, yeah. So like being someone, I also never expressed that to him until that moment, being someone who deals with manic depression. The moods, the way they change, the way they go up from up to down, and not in a moody sense, like, bitch, I can't stand you. But no, like, you know, like sleeping all day, like literally not wanting
to move
anything, you know, and having to open up about that. Also, he was actually the spark of me really talking more about mental health for myself, to be honest with you, because I felt more comfortable after he confronted me and cussed me out in the middle of 14th Street.
You needed that.
Yeah, and you know, and
right in front of BBQ's, you needed that.
No. It wasn't BBQ's. It was walking past where New York Sports Club used to be.
Oh, okay.
And I was actually going to the gym, and he was coming from where he was coming from, down from Fifth Avenue, going towards Sixth Avenue,
and saw your ass,
and just saw me, and I wasn't gonna try to, hide my face or anything. I was actually happy to see him, but then I realized, oh shit. And you know, he just walked up to me, and I was just like, go ahead, let me have it, just like I deserve it. And he's like, because I ghosted him, like I stopped talking to him, and then I started talking to him. It was, because I didn't want to be the bad guy, but I became the bad guy, right?
That's what I say.
It's self-sabotage. It's self-sabotage. There's so many things that we learned.
Right. I always wonder why people, I guess when I ghost, and I can only speak about me, when I ghost, I'm like, all right, you crazy. But I have had some fuckboys in my life that have done that shit. Mm-hmm. I have had a fuckboy that will come around. I want to be in a relationship, da da da, diss the fuck up here and come back. I know what I was here when you were here last time. No, go away.
You know what? Actually, now that I recall, I was actually going back into I was like leaning off the second round of celibacy. So that was the main thing. Also, like, he was willing to stick around during me not wanting to have sex with him. And it's beautiful. I've seen him naked. It's beautiful. I mean, I would, Jesus Christ, like for real. Like I had to hear it from his perspective on what it's like to be ghosted, for me to never do that to somebody else ever again. Right. And for him to understand how I would go from up to down. Some days I want to be there. Some days I don't. Some days I want you to come. I want to come with you. And some days I want you to stay away from me. Like there's a bunch of songs that even like mesh with that mood. I've never been a fuck boy like I was to this one. And going forward, like even when I ghost people now.
Not when I have ghost people now.
Now,
oh my god!
So no, the
why
ghosting.
Just tell them
the well, ghosting now. The ghosting now comes from after I've said my piece and I've heard your response. So like,
we don't talk about it.
Yeah, because if I tell you that this is how I feel and I don't think we can go any further, and then you give me your things and this and that, whatever. Don't text me tomorrow and say, okay, hey, good morning. Like, I literally was like, I expressed to you, like, I open up now. I'm really. Because I think I was also a lot of times I've had a hard time in my life ever talking about the things I don't like because I'm such a pleaser as a Libra. I want to make you happy. So I don't want to talk about how things hurt me.
Makes so much more sense, Mr. Scales. Why you yeah. would be so up and down?
Not the roll, not the eye roll.
Feels right. I'm just saying, feels right.
Yeah, it does.
Up and down.
Yeah, we are, you know, and. When we make a solid decision, we make a solid decision.
I have never met a Libra that can make a quick decision.
I make quick decisions. My best relationship was from a quick decision. So like it's like all of those little things play into, you know, play into a big making of who I am in general, right? Because I belong to a small committee of gays who's had a lover who's passed away while you've been together, right? So coming from that type of great love to dealing with not so great love, with dealing with never being single ever in your life longer than 6 months to now extending years, and now you get to see what being single is to you if you've never been single for longer than 3 months, right? And now you've been alone for more than a year or 2 years, and now you start to like that feeling. In order to like give up that freedom, you have to really be ready for it. So there's so many different layers that come with that.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's a lot of work that you have to do with yourself first. Mm-hmm. On one end, like it's kind of like living polar opposite lives. On one side, you've had this serial, you know, monogamy, serial date or serial relationships. Then on the other side, you are serially single.
Mm-hmm, you know?
And I totally get that. You've gotten used to one way of life. Now you're like, oh my gosh, am I gonna make it through this? Then just when you get comfortable, you're like, well, no, what, I'm gonna switch it up. I just got used to this.
And so that's the part that worries me now. But you know, at this age, like where I'm at in my life, you know, and I sometimes wonder if I've been single too long to ever get into an actual another relationship. Yes, I do know how to adapt, but I don't want to have to adapt. And I wouldn't want you to have to adapt either.
I use the word adapt because I think if you have been living like in this one way, right? You've been living as a single man for an extended period of time, close to a decade now, in between the last time you had a relationship. Oh my gosh, when you say decade, it makes it sound so long, but it really
doesn't. Doesn't it? Because you saw my face, right?
No, but then I thought about when I was like, why did you use decade? I should have just said 9 years. It would have made me feel better too. 9 years. But to that point. I'm just saying, like, you've gotten used to like these ways of working, right? These processes, these routine. Like, I'm a very routine person. I've lived alone ever since, 16. So living with another person is always something I have to like get used to, or like I say adapt, and maybe adapt isn't the right word. But I think like if you've had this one way of working for so long, there is like a part of that process where you do have to like get back acclimated. You have to try to like,
I see what you're saying.
And part of that can, for some people, like fear of the unknown or like fear of what that change will look like, because change and trying to combine two people's lives together, there's going to be an uncomfortable, there's going to be disagreements. It's not going to be pretty. Oh no, I was just saying, do you think some of that kind of deters you from being as, I guess, like aggressive towards like trying to go out there and date or be in a relationship? Do you think some of that kind of keeps you like, it kind of keeps you hesitant? You know how much work it's going to be to take to go all the way back over that hill again.
So the part about that, the work is not the issue. The work is never the issue. The work is the fun. So that's the part of learning
that's
somebody
amazing
else
to hear.
Right. It's the letting go of the control that you already have for yourself.
Yeah, that you fought so hard for. That, I can see it, that.
You know, so like, and so this is the phase that I actually had to go through as a fuckboy, like, right? Mm-hmm. And this is
take
where my fuck,
come on.
So being, as I said earlier, the, you know, being in a, the still now since 2003, no one has ever come close, right? Not to compare to each other, but when I say no one's ever come close, I mean in the way of me saying there was no denial in my mind that I was loved. Right. I never questioned if this person loved me or not. To go from having, and that was complete freedom, like allowing us to be each other. And of course, that was an older person who taught me, but also at the same time, I was young. What else do you know? To getting into another situation and you having less control, to basically no control because you've given all your power away, to now being single. And now that you've given your power away and you're finally getting it back, now it's like, if you've been in a situation where you felt like your opinion never mattered, going forward, your opinion is the only thing that matters, right?
Oh, 1,000%. You go the complete 180.
Right, right. And then after a while, you realize that, okay, that can't work. So you can't want it. You can't go away and come back. You can't want it both ways. You can't have it the way you want it. You have to like, okay, now I'm at, around him. He was a spark that really ignited that, that I can't have it both ways. I can't go up and come down. I can't, you know, tell you to go away and then come back. I can't do all these different things to somebody that I really care for. Yeah. You see, and you know, as we're talking, yeah, you know, I'm, you know, even like, you know, miming it. If I want it to actually be something, I have to be willing to like give it up or give up the possibility of what it's like to have somebody in my space that I've cultivated with my energy and my nutsack smell all of through his house. Don't judge me. This is how I talk, you know, and I don't want to have somebody else's testosterone trying to change the smell of my house, you know, and there I wouldn't want to do
energy. Yeah.
You know, and learning how to actually be a part of somebody else's energy and allowing them to be a part is where I'm at now. But back then it was probably one of the worst things I've ever done when it came down to a person.
So what are you doing now to not be a fuck boy, or do you just, or are you okay with it?
No, I am not. No.
We
so
had
what I
read in recently who was like, what about the guys who just want to be a fuck boy right now? Or like, this is just where you're at.
So it's interesting now that I'm no longer a fuck boy. And I'm not the person who, I'm not, this is not self-proclaimed, not a fuck boy. Like I've been told this, that, you know, now it's like, it's how interesting how karma, you know, has this way of coming back to you, right?
You're like, oh.
I end up getting the energy that I put out, but I understood the lesson. So now I don't have that. So the idea, the reason why karma keeps coming back around is because we don't learn that lesson, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stuff still keeps happening until you learn the lesson. So I've pretty much learned it now. Where I'm at now is, and what stopped me and what helped me is realizing that, number one, I am getting older. I have a lot of love to give. And I want to be able to give it to someone who knows they are deserving of it, not have to doubt whether or not they deserve it because their insecurities are based on A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z. And so I'm open to it, and COVID.
the moment
that I said to my friends, you know, I think I'm really ready. I'm honestly ready. I threw away a bunch of shit that no man who's actually trying to, you know, be in a relationship probably should have or whatever have you from my standpoint or whatever. I'm not going to go into too much nasty detail. Y'all need to know my life. But
live your life.
Baby. but, you know, some things, and then COVID happened. And then now we can't touch anybody. So it's like, well, we can, but, you know.
As we wrap up this portion of the show, tell me, I guess, what do you think has been your biggest lesson throughout? Because it's really funny to hear a person who was in this relationship, this amazing relationship, at a young age. You usually hear about people being fuckboys at a young age and then they learn. So it's really great to hear the opposite and the reverse. I guess throughout both sides, throughout living on both sides, you know, of the hill of being in a relationship and not, and being a fuckboy and not being a fuckboy, I guess, for you, what has been the lesson? What has been like, what has been the thing like for you in your mind and in battling mental health and waking up every day? Because I so can 1000% like relate to you. Sometimes waking up in the morning, you don't want to be bothered. And it has zero to do with anyone else. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to see nobody. I just like, and it could be whatever has triggered you. You know, you may not even be able to pinpoint what it was. That's sometimes how depression hits you. So out of everything that you've been through and in fighting for your growth, what allows you to keep choosing to be up and
so
going back down? What allows you to keep going back up? Because we may fall. Growth isn't linear.
Yeah. So what's been like really grounding, I would say, I want to like use that word, right?
Okay. I like grounding. Grounding sounds great.
It's been, sounds great, but is it really doing it?
no, I would not. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. You about to let us know what grounds you.
I mean, music, quietness, meditation, writing, and creating has been what's helping me. Even expressing this more, even like talking about this, because I think like the more we talk about shit, the things actually start to change, especially when you hear how it sounds as you're saying those words and like you like, I was really like that person. As I'm moving forward where I am right now, I want to make sure that I present myself as myself in every single moment, not present myself as what someone else expects me to be because I want them to like me.
And what do you keep at the forefront of your mind to be able to do that, to allow yourself to show up as yourself?
I mean, at the forefront of my mind, I keep...
Because how do you remind you? I know for me, I constantly get triggered. You might be in a situation where a bitch will try to try you and get you to come out of pocket, or you just may be in a situation at work where you get pulled out of character. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you continue to show up? And in that I feel like those things
how
mental health.
How therapy has helped. Therapy has actually helped. Amen. Actually sitting and look, black men, go to therapy. Talk to someone, like get an actual licensed professional, not just your friends, not Mookie and them and all whatever, but an actual licensed professional. Even if you just do one or two sessions, like the amount of weight that is lifted off your shoulders. Even like a conversation I had with my therapist, I said to her, I said, I don't know what it is about me that I think people have been told that, you know, I'm aggressive, or I know I am aggressive, or I can come off aggressive, but it makes people afraid to like step up to you. When I'm like really I'm like a fucking big ass teddy bear, just not in a big ass body. I'm just like a big teddy bear. You know what I mean? Like I just want to like hug and cuddle and do all the nice things that people don't want to admit that they like to do. And she's, you know, she said, you know, I think that the word choices is different. I think it's not so much of more aggression than intensity. So
yeah, I don't think you're an aggressive person, but sometimes, I mean, anyone can make you feel intense. And I think you're a passionate person. So sometimes people can misinterpret your passion, sometimes can misinterpret how much you care. So tell everybody out there as we wrap up before we go to the next portion of the show, tell everybody out there about all the amazing projects. Tell them about Dear You. Tell them about everything that you have going on right now.
All right. So hey, if you do a quick little Google search, I have several different podcasts actually out there. Ironically enough, one of them is called Willing and Waiting. That's a conversation that initially was started out by a friend of mine, Blair, about celibacy, right? So I have a podcast that's actually dedicated to actually celibacy. Our first season, we were both celibate. Now she has a boyfriend and I'm just out here in the streets. So it's a podcast about that. So the second season we're working on now, where we're actually, since we're not celibate or living the life of celibate, other people sharing their stories on why they chose to be celibate. And everybody's story is different. Everybody's reason is different for doing it. I'm also the producer and creator of another podcast called the Highly Melanated. That is between myself, Blair, as well as one of my frat brothers. His name is Red on the show. And we actually have conversations that affect our community. Like we've had Black doulas, Black therapists. We've had people running for Congress, running for city council, people from the Department of Health, Mental Wellness, people who are doctors, financial advisors, things that's going to actually help our community. And fun shit, but not like, not really a lot of pop culture things, right? And that we are now starting our second season with that, with the departure of one of our previous co-hosts. So now we have to like redo everything. yeah, it's baby, look, the remodel, the reformatting of something. It's work. You know, but everything happens for a reason. And I think everybody should know that everything in your life happens for a reason. So if something happened that's made you stop and pivot another direction, it's because it had to in order for you to achieve greatness. And then my favorite and my baby is called The Dear You Project. And that is a specific one that's surrounded around a Dear You letter. I've been gracious enough to have some beautiful people come on and share their stories written to a letter, whoever they wanted to. But it was a way for them to release something from themselves and or help the listener who's going through something similar to know that they aren't alone in their journeys. She's a business owner and she wrote about now fortifying her business. And another one wrote to his mother who used to abuse him. You know, one wrote to her mother who gave her up for adoption. The great thing I love about that one is that nothing is premeditated. I don't know what anybody comes in to write about until we actually sit and record. So the conversation is really authentic. And it's managed to help change some people's lives and as well as listeners. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to have a platform that does that. And then there are some other things that are working that are in, you know, the works for visual stimulation.
I get it. So tell people where they can find you on social media too.
Okay. On Instagram, it is Phil Nominal. That's P-H-I-L. N as in Nancy, O, M as in Michael, E-N-A-L. I'm also on Clubhouse. That is I am PJ Ryan at Clubhouse. But if anybody also wants to email me, you're more than welcome to email me. You can reach me at IAM PJ Ryan at gmail.com if you're interested in being a guest on any one of those shows.
There you go. And when we come back, we'll be at our fuckboy versus fucked up portion of the show.
I couldn't help but wonder. Are men just women with balls?
This is a good time to vent. Officially. Now, in the great tradition of Paris is Burning, the library is about to be open. Hey! Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
That's right, children.
Mm-hmm. We are back for the fuckboy versus fucked up portion of the show.
All shit now.
We got PJ Ryan in the building, you guys. You ready?
Hey, y'all. Yeah, ready. Let's go.
All right, so today's letter comes in from Randon. Randon writes in with the subject line that says, in a relationship, all alone. All right. So Randon writes in and he says, Lynn and I's relationship has always been one of mutual understanding, or so I thought. Since starting therapy at the beginning of quarantine, I'm not so sure that we're on the same page anymore. Everything about our relationship works till something is wrong in Lynn's life, whether it be professional or personal. When things become too much, he just starts to check out or shuts down. He blames it on stress, but at what point are you accountable for managing your own stress without taking it out on others? At any point in time, I may go a month to 2 months at the longest without seeing Lynn. I understand a man's got to work and all, but do I not have any right to be concerned or voice my feelings? To make things worse, when he is here, it's as if he's still not. He either comes over really late or in the middle of the night, and all we can do is either cuddle, fuck, or just go back to sleep. I can't even remember the last time we had a truly meaningful conversation. Have you ever felt alone laying right next to someone? That's how it feels, whether he's next to me or not. Isn't the best part about having a partner is always knowing you have someone who has your back and is there for you? Even if they can't always physically be with you, they still can make their presence known, can't they? Recently, I brought up Lynn's lack of presence when we're together, and he just says he'll work on it. But a few months back in an argument, he said it's hard for him to handle the stuff he has to do for himself and do what he needs to do for me as a boyfriend. He said he's trying to find a balance, but it feels like this is quite imbalanced at the moment. I don't want to think the worst, but I don't want to be dumb either. Is our situation fucked up, or am I really being played, waiting at home for a fuckboy that's never gonna show up? Randon.
Damn, Randon.
I love the name, Randon.
I do too. That's it.
Randon. That's right. Sexy. Okay. Come on, Randon and Lynn.
Okay.
Lynn
really. So here's the thing about Lynn, right?
I always say the fuck boys ain't shit. Y'all know this if you listen. I say it every episode when we start this. I'm always say he ain't shit, but then I be defending him.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah. So at the beginning of it, you know, I got the part of. Maybe I misunderstood her at the very beginning, because I was like, okay, maybe I can see how he can be that way. Did you pick this on purpose? Because it sounds like me. So in my mind, yeah, I was like, at the very beginning.
We probably have like 100 emails now. Uh-huh. And like, now you guys know, we have your emails like categorized based on like certain things. Or like, if I read the email when it comes in and I feel like it fits the story, I'm gonna like save it for later. I save certain stories, and this was a story I just remembered, and I was like, okay, like, yeah, we're gonna pull that email.
So Lynn is, I wouldn't call him at the beginning a fuckboy. I would call him learning how to deal with his emotions. Like, he's still trying to figure out how to open up and be safe when he wants to open up, because he can shut down really quick. He can, you know, he can be often, he can like a flick of a light. I can get that part. Does it make it right? No. It's the second part that I started taking notes down. And I was like, okay, baby, you lost me now.
That's when it really felt like there was no hope. The second half felt like there was no hope.
And so the second part reminds me of this Jill Scott song that I went through with my last relationship, and it's called Whenever You're Around. That song where, and I started Googling the lyrics of it. And it's what happens ending up with that is that you end up, regardless of how you feel, if this person is starting to shut you out so much, sometimes depending on the strength of you, you might start seeking attention elsewhere when it should be still at home. But then who's to blame for you doing that if you don't get it from home? But it's just depending on how far you're willing to go with the seeking of the attention. It's nice to get a compliment or two from other people, or, you know, this and that, whatever. They make me feel good, but I feel so lonely just when I'm with you.
Picture and keep it cute,
you know. Okay, don't start doing the conversation, because you've just now opened the door. But I think if you're not willing to actually open your mouth and say, all right, regardless of anything, this is how it makes me feel, and this is what you're doing to me, and this is why I feel this way, with actual like dates, times, emotions. Don't pick something that's too far beyond in the past, because if you didn't talk about it then.
Like, there's no conviction. It sounds like there's no conviction in Randon's stance.
No, that doesn't really stand like you. It's not even that he's convicted in it. It's just that why don't you just admit you don't want it anymore? Like, and it's okay, because there is no hope. I mean, if you're not willing to open your mouth and say something, and if that continues, then you know. Stop. Just remove your pick up and break up with him. Leave him.
Do you think he's a fuckboy?
I think Ligboy has Lynn has high fuckboy tendencies. At very high fuckboy tendencies when it comes down to if the person comes in really late. Like, who does that? How are you just gonna come and start coming in late? And the only time we can spend with each other is to cuddle.
Hours. You don't know this man's work hours.
I may not know his work hours, but I need you to see me as a whole human being. And if I want to have a conversation with you, let's have a conversation. And that's not just like if he said that's that we don't need. Issue he said we don't
like,
even.
Do I not have a right to voice? Right. Like, or you guys are not even having conversations when you come home.
Yeah. So that's the part that you have a right. Number one, you always have a right to voice. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you don't have a right to voice it. Just know that there's a way, a time and a place for everything. And then it's like a way to do it, like your tact, how if you want to be received.
Tact is the word.
Yeah, if you want, and that's something I had to learn. Look, baby, because the way this mouth is, bitch, I don't know who the fuck you talking to. You are a strange little man.
I'm a bitch. Like, I'm a Capricorn. I am ice fucking cold. I will wear you out with
Yes,
I will wear you out with no curse words, because by the time I wear you out, I have already decided how I felt about it.
Oh, God, Capricorns, you guys are like, we're not going to make this about you.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, you're an instant ghoster, but go ahead. Okay, so.
As we take this collective sigh, I think Lynn is a fuckboy too. You just said tendencies. I'm just going to go ahead and just push it on over. Because my thing is, at what point, if I have come to you as a partner and let you know, whether Randon really was, I shouldn't say like aggressive. I hate that word aggressive. But I feel like no matter how assertive Randon has been about speaking about his or her or their concerns about Lynn's lack of presence in the relationship, you still voice them. Randon still voiced their concerns. And for you to, and it sounds more like Lynn was just shutting those concerns down. Like, I'll do it. I'll work on it. I'll get to it. But then Randon reports back like there's been no change.
And that's the part about it that makes you a fuckboy. Because if you never do, and you can't blame the person, because that was my last situation. I never did. And I can't blame them for not knowing how I felt. And even now, this person has changed their life completely. And maybe all the great things that they should have been back then that, you know, I needed or you needed, let's say that this happens to you. And whose fault is it if you don't really enforce how you feel, if you don't say it? And if you don't say with conviction, like, okay, look, I can't do this shit no more. And if this keeps happening, like, I'm done. I don't care. They're necessary. You can't have you have to have boundaries in everything, whether it's your relationships, friendships, personal relationships, professional relationships, your family. Boundaries are important, and it's important to set them. So if you don't set them early on, you can't set them later on, because they're not going to be respected. And I think right now
they sound like they're it's too late.
I think at this point there's actually my honest opinion, just based on the words alone, that you can voice them to the face turn blue. You allow this to go on for a long time, long enough that it's not going to change.
You're going to have to like leave.
You're going to have to leave for them.
You're going to have to leave for a long time. You're gonna have to leave, go get with somebody else, maybe. You're gonna have to leave for a long time. Them see you differently, because also there's some work that you need to do for yourself, Randon.
Correct.
And I think however this turns out, you should take these words and walk with them, regardless if you decide to stay with Lynn or you decide to get with Cat Dog next. I think you should try to work on finding your voice. And if you can write fuckboy problems a letter and be so eloquent, because I want to compliment you. You knew all the issues that you have.
Or so I thought. I was like, yes, we're about to go there.
It's not even a laundry list of issues. Mm-hmm. You want this person to show up. It's literally your demand is an act, a single act. Show up.
Mm-hmm.
And show I up think and be I, present. So I think you should try to find your voice and find out what you actually want, so you can be able to uphold those boundaries a lot sooner. And you'll be able to weed out the bullshit, like Beyonce in that commercial where she was dodging lasers. If you like these shit, you remember that when she looked like she was robbing a bank with the red lasers? Yeah. You'll be able to dodge that shit.
And finding your voice is actually the important part about it. Because, you know, as long as, you know, not, you know, even though I said I've been single for almost a decade, as he pointed out, in that time, what has brought me solace, and now I know that I can proceed, not just with caution, but with care, and with care to my heart and myself, that doesn't close people off. I found my voice, and you can be able to find yours, because remember, every single time you open your mouth to express something that you feel, what you're saying has validity and it has purpose, intent, and it means something. And the other person should respect that. If they don't respect that, give them some time alone by themselves in another building, in another state, in another city, and they will figure it out when they watch you glow up on other ways and then want to come back to you later apologizing for the way they've been and thinking that that's going to just magically disappear from all the things that the fuck shit that they used to do before, because it's not, but that's what end up will happening. So you just chop this one up as a loss and just move better, choose better, and be better.
For yourself.
Without that motherfucker. Sorry, I mean, I don't mean to be so harsh. I'm getting harsher as I get older, look.
No, but there it is. We'll be back with the song of the week in just a sec.
Hey, how about we listen to a little bit of music?
Bro. How did you know? I love this song.
The song of the week is here. I think PJ is going to have so much fun with this. I'm excited for this song. Go ahead and tell everybody out there what the song of the week this week is.
the song of the week, just to make sure that I'm correct, right? Because I could change it in a heartbeat. with the mood of what I was saying as far as the fuckboyness I had, right?
It's gonna be on our playlist. It should go with the mood.
And
I mean, by all means, you can change it.
Yeah. It made sense. My fuckboyness was literally Stop Falling from Pink's first album. Mm-hmm. Stop Falling, where the song is like, you know, I know I'm a good person. I know I this, but I'm too young. I'm not ready for all these simple things. I mean, I need you to like me, but just stop falling in love with me because I'm not ready to love you yet. And the moment that I'm ready to love, then I'll be ready. But stop falling in love with me, expecting me to be where you are. Because if I'm not there yet, how can you want me to be there? And how are you think I'm going to be there once I'm there? I'm not going to really be there because I'm still
now,
not
Lynn.
There.
If that's how you feel, you need to
communicate that. Baby, the way I just
find
that.
Your words, both y'all. Actually, I'm doubling back to the other to the section we was just at. Lynn and Randon, y'all both need to find y'all voice. It's not because you, Lynn, you ain't saying shit either. It's a lot probably going on up there in your head. Mm-hmm. But no, like I was saying, and like PJ was saying, this is "Stop Falling" by Pink.
I'm still young and I ain't ready, babe. I'm still looking for some better days. Oh, I don't wanna give you everything. I just wanna make you feel things. You ain't time to give me everything. Just throw it away. Stop falling.
Come on, make me believe what you're saying.
Can we waken this up a little?
Well, yeah, if you think you can.
Okay. Deanna.
If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay.
We are now at the end of the show. It is our fuckboy fix. It is a self-care tip. It is a phrase. It is a word of healing and affirmation. It is something that you can carry with you the next time you feel triggered or you just need a little pick-me-up. And we are here to always provide you not just with a problem, because we got plenty of fuckboy problems, but do you have solutions? And that's what this portion of the show is all about. So PJ, tell everybody, what is your fuckboy fix?
My fuckboy fix, in order to actually have to know that you're not gonna do this to yourself anymore, or do this to other people, or allow this to be done to you, is to know your worth and then walk in your value. Know exactly what you're worth. And when I say that, I mean, just imagine, how can you say, I know I'm worth it, I know my worth, if you choose not to walk, you choose to let people treat you less than what you're worth. So walk in your value and walk in your value with your head held high and knowing that that's your value. That's who you are. That's for you.
Make me cry.
But it's the truth. This is one of the main lessons that I have learned about myself, especially knowing my worth and knowing when I walk into a space, owning whatever my energy does to that space. I know what my worth is. And whether it's a happy-go-lucky or, you know, I feel like I have to put on the PJ hat to help or whatever have you. But it's I know that if I'm in a situation and people treat me less than I'm worth, there's no need for me to stick around here. Why am I doing
that? That's amazing.
And you do that. Why do you stick around? Because you're not sure of your worth. So you start settling for stuff that you know that you are much far better than. So know your worth and walk in your value.
Well, thanks for reading me.
Maybe sometimes I have to read myself, you know?
Right. I'm going through a professional transition. No. but no, I thank you for that. I'm not even going to add to it because I don't even want to muddy it up. But I
no, look, I'm curious. Like, how does that resonate for you? Like, Justin,
for me, when you talk about know your worth, for me, and I'll just have a moment of transparency. For me, my worth has always been, I'm a pretty person, and I know what I look like, and I was quickly taught.
Come on, Kappa Alpha Psi.
Right, but I was quickly taught. I guess that, you know, like, I was quickly taught people's assumptions about my value versus people's, I guess, inquiry or even wanting to like validate or like even just find out. People never really give me the opportunity to ask me what I do for work. I rarely get asked what I do for work. Mm-hmm. If I told you what I do for work, you would be so surprised to know what I do in my 9-to-5 outside of what I do, you know, like creatively. They're so opposite. But that put me in a position, unfortunately, to also not have any confidence about who I was as a whole. So I could be confident about how I look, and I could be confident about what I know, but in no way am I able to be confident or even like appreciate my worth as a whole, because I'm allowing people to compartmentalize me. I'm allowing people to be like, okay, well, like, yeah, we like Justin the body, or we like Justin, you know, like the entertaining influence or whatever. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Like at work, you like Justin for this, but in no way can mm-hmm. I live as a whole in all these different ways. In no way can mm-hmm. like my worth be the sum of all these parts. That's probably a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. And for me now, like when you talk about walking in a room, hold your head up high, like I'm a tall person, I'm 6'1", and like sometimes I have to catch myself because I'm like, why are you like this? Like, why are you hunching down? Like all these different things, like your whole energy. And it's because, and I was talking to a coworker and I was like, why am I like going into these meetings stuttering about things that I know? Or why am I in presentations like doubting myself? Or when I'm being asked questions that I know 1,000% the answer to, why am I questioning myself? And there's something about how I've been treated in this space. There's something about now that's now changing my opinion of myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. And when you said that, it just really kind of like resonates on me. It was like, no, like if you know these things, at some point you do have to just walk away.
So give me an example of how you would... Give me an example how you yourself, Justin Rain.
Are you hosting my show?
No, I'm not, but I want to hear this because I love this. I love yeah, hearing the resolution to it. How would you walk into your value? Like, and especially if you want other people to do it, like how would you walk into your value?
No, for sure. I think walking into my value is exactly like I told you all and hinted. I am in a place of professional transition. And in that, I've really had to sit down and evaluate myself, what I am bringing to the table. And sometimes you don't always get that until maybe you interview elsewhere or you start to look elsewhere and people will be like, oh no, you're worth this. And you only thought you were worth that because the people and where you were currently at were only telling you that you were worth this. Mm-hmm. And until you like open up your mind and expect more and start to think, and I asked a friend who was a recruiter and, you know, people who worked in HR, and I really like sat around, like showed them, okay, like this is me and this is my entirety and this is my work history. What is my number? And that's literally where I like wanted to go from. Okay, like let's look at me and not compare the place or anything. What is your number that you want to be? What do you feel like you're worth? What do you feel like all the some of these talents are worth? So that is where it started for me, really like going back and just making it about myself and everything that I actually do, instead of like making it about outside things or external things. You, your skills, your talent, what do you feel like they're all worth? Don't worry about if somebody's gonna tell you no. Mm-hmm. If they tell you no, you don't need to be there. And so that's kind of where things have shifted. So I'll let y'all know if I live back in New York. Or actually, y'all just know, because I probably wouldn't tell y'all. I would just pop up, be like, hey, the bitch is back. So-
It's a pause for me.
Like Agatha. Yeah. Like Agatha, if y'all watch WandaVision, I'm like, hey. It's going to be very much like that.
Runes. Runes.
Thank you so. No, I'm just playing. I'm definitely not Agatha. I probably so. When I tell you I was crying watching WandaVision, I definitely probably been Wanda. Crying on that couch. That depression, that whole conversation, amazing. Amazing. You talked about the whole, like, that whole feeling of like it rushing over you and you're drowning and you can't seem to like get out of the water. Oh my gosh. Perfect description of depression.
I'm going to write a piece about that show. About how it does that for depression. But
thank you for being on the show. Tell everybody out there how they can find you again.
Thank you again for having me, man. You can follow me on social media. I actually have two handles. I didn't mention this before. All of my podcasts have all of my podcasts actually have the name of this show is the name of it. On Instagram. So for Highly Melanated, it's Highly Melanated Podcast. So that's, you can find that on Instagram. Same thing with the Gmail email. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. For Highly Melanated, we are doing a special promotion for any Black business owners. If you are a Black business owner, I am doing free commercial ad space for you. All you do is reach out to me either at highlymelanatedpodcast@gmail.com or my personal email, which is I am PJ Ryan. And it's actual free space for you to discuss or for you to mention your business and what it is that you do. And I'm doing this for free because I'm not here trying to make money off of our dollar. I want our dollar to actually make more money for us in general. So I wanted to see if my audience can help grow your business in any way possible. And I'm not trying to make a duck or a buck off of you. That's, you know, amazing. Just yet. Okay, because not everything stays for free. You can also find me, my regular Instagram is Phil Nominal. That's PHILNOMENAL. I am available anywhere you can find me. You can even go to Facebook and find me. I'm barely on there, but you'll search there under Philip James. I'll be one of them up there. And yeah, you can go to Willing and Waiting. All the podcasts and all Highly Melanated, Dear You Project, as well as Willing and Waiting are all available on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, iHeartRadio, and working on Pandora right now, and things are available.
We just got on Pandora, y'all.
Maybe it's been such a chuckle to get there. I don't understand why. But thank you again for having me. Thank you. Jesus. I'm just like really happy to be here. I appreciate you. I've known you for a while, and it's amazing to see your growth from where you've come from to where you are now. And like, even like, the growth of creating a podcast is fuckboy problems. Who wouldn't want to talk about it? Like, who wouldn't want to talk about either you've been a fuckboy or some fuckboy that did you wrong? So like,
I'll show you my DMs.
I love the angle that you go. I love this whole show. So kudos to you for this.
Well, thank you. And now I gotta figure out, I don't know which y'all want to come on now.
I know which one I want you on.
Oh God, I'm nervous. Well, until you're gonna next have to be ready. Bye, fuck boys. Tell the fuck boys bye.
Peace. Bye.
That's all, folks. Thank you again for listening to today's podcast. Please make sure to subscribe, rate it, and share with a friend wherever you are listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FBProbs, FBProbs. And please make sure to add our playlist on Spotify and Apple Music. And if you got fuckboy problems, please email us at FBProbs@JustinRain.com. That's FBProbs at Justin, JUSTIN, Rain, RAYNE.com. See you next episode, fuckboys.